Today we're talking with Pat Harvey, a licensed clinical social worker in private practice in Rockville, Maryland. She's also the co-founder of the Metro DC DBT Consortium. Our topic is using DBT skills to reduce emotion dysregulation and reactivity in children, adolescents, and parents. Pat, can you begin by describing dialectical behavior therapy, or what we're calling DBT?
Sure. Dialectical behavior therapy was developed by a woman named Marsha Linehan probably about 20 years ago to help individuals who had suicidality and self-injurious behavior and who were really living in their own misery. And what she found was that she needed to add a little bit of her own Zen Buddhist experiences of acceptance and validation and living in the moment to what is basically a cognitive behavioral approach to treatment. Because she found that if you just tried to work with changing people, they became very resistant and had difficulty changing. It's when she began to show acceptance and began to understand that they were doing the very best they could in the context of their lives that she was then able to help people change more. So it is a cognitive behavioral approach with a little bit of Zen Buddhism added into it.
Can you tell us what you mean by emotion dysregulation?
Yes, people who have a vulnerability to emotion dysregulation basically react immediately and intensely to emotional situations that other people might not respond to at all. And that once it's sort of like the people who go from 0 to 10, 0 to 100, very quickly, and then have a very slow return to baseline. So once they're emotionally dysregulated, they might stay up there for a very long time. The problem is that nobody understands why they're experiencing the feelings that they are, because it's their emotion regulation system, actually their physiological system, that causes them to be so reactive to situations.
So what is the biosocial theory, and how does it relate to emotion dysregulation?
The biosocial theory is the way that Marsha Linehan developed an understanding of how people develop pervasive emotion dysregulation, which means that their whole world is responding, is how they respond to emotions. And what it means is that people are either born or develop early in their life through trauma an emotion regulation system that is very highly vulnerable to emotional stimulation, which is what I've just explained. And what happens is the world around them or their environment sort of looks at them and says, why are you feeling that way? Why are you acting that way? There's nothing going on. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. When for them, physiologically, it is a big deal, and they don't really understand why it is, and nobody in their life really understands why it is. So the biosocial theory is a transactional theory where a child behaves in a certain way, the environment around them doesn't understand it, so they tend to dismiss it, which means that the child then has two choices. The child then learns to either escalate their behaviors and their emotions so that people really get it, that they really do feel that way, or they mask them and they go underground and they don't feel anything. And what happens is, this is a non-blaming understanding of what happens, because parents don't invalidate their kids because they want to or because they don't care about their kids. They invalidate their kids because they're trying to help their kids feel better by saying, don't worry about it, it's not a big deal. We'll make it better. Tomorrow will be a better day. Those are all things that parents intuitively say to kids. What they don't realize is they're saying it to a kid who doesn't understand for themselves why their emotions feel the way they do. And so what happens is the kid themselves begins to not believe their own experiences and begins to deny that they have any of their own feelings because the world around them is telling them that. So where that leads is that parents really have to learn how to provide a validating environment and how to acknowledge what kids are experiencing and not deny it or dismiss it. And the individuals themselves have to begin to trust their own feelings and recognize the fact that they have real feelings, even if the people around them don't understand it. So one of the things that we do for people is we explain the biosocial theory. We explain to them that their emotions are coming from a place where their system, their physiological system, actually reacts intensely, and it's not their fault, and it's not their parents' fault. It's not about fault. It's not about blame. It is about trying to figure out how do you manage the fact that you feel a lot more pain than other people do.
So what are the skills that come out of this theory that are helpful to parents?
Well, the first one is I teach parents how to validate their kids, how to acknowledge what their kids are going through. And then there's a whole series of skills that DBT teaches in a set of modules. So there are 5 modules. The first one is called mindfulness, and it's about learning how to be aware of yourself and live in the present moment. And that helps people become aware of their own sensations and how they're experiencing life. There's a module on distress tolerance, which says that if you're going to feel pain, and you are in your life, what are the safe ways that you can manage that pain? What are the ways that you can help yourself to experience your feelings and manage them in safe ways that are not going to get you into more trouble? There's another part of distress tolerance that also encourages people to learn to accept certain things that they're not going to be able to change, because it's only when you accept them that you can actually move on and figure out where to go next. There's a module on emotion regulation, which teaches people what emotions are, how they come about, how your thinking affects your emotions, and helps you also to regulate your emotions by bringing more positive things into your life and by taking care of yourself, because if you take care of yourself physically, then you will also be less vulnerable to negative emotions. There's also a module on interpersonal effectiveness, which talks about how to have relationships with other people and how to get your needs met and how to get yourself taken seriously, because we all know that when people are really emotional, the people in their lives tend to dismiss them. So we actually teach people how to say things and listen to other people and relate to other people and manage your own self-esteem while saying yes and no to other people's requests. And there's a 5th module that was added by an individual named Alec Miller, which is called Walking the Middle Path, which was specifically designed for adolescents and family members, which really talks about how do you learn how to validate. How do you learn how to use behavioral contingencies to reinforce adaptive behaviors and to not reinforce unsafe behaviors? And also how to understand what dialectics means, which is the core dialectic in DBT is we recognize that people are doing the best they can in their lives with the situation as they are in the context of their lives, and that they have to do better by learning skills to manage their lives better. And that's a dialectic. Those are 2 things that seem contradictory, and they're both true.
So how do you use DBT to help children, including adolescents, with their emotion dysregulation?
Well, I think we teach them all the skills that I just talked about, so that if we can teach adolescents to be mindful and to be aware and to stay in this moment, then they can observe themselves and they can do what we call making decisions that are effective for them. So that is what is going to help them get closer to their goals. Not our goals, but their goals. So if I say, if you're fighting with your peers, is that going to effectively get you to have more friends? So it's all about teaching them how to be mindfully aware, how to use the skills of distress tolerance to lessen their emotional reactivity so that they can be more aware of what they need to do that's effective, and how to take care of themselves physically. So we teach all of those skills to adolescents and adults, and I teach parents how to be mindful of what their adolescents are going through, so that, for example, if they know that their adolescent is having a tough time and is very vulnerable, that's not the time to be lecturing them. That, in fact, the research is, and physiologically, one of the things that parents try to do is they try to lecture their kids or talk to their kids when their kids are emotionally dysregulated. It doesn't work. It's impossible to listen when you're emotionally dysregulated. So I teach parents to help themselves calm down, to lower their voice level, to speak slower, to take a deep breath, and to help their adolescent slow down so that they can have a conversation, because you can't have a conversation, you can't problem solve when everybody is dysregulated.
How young a child can you work with?
Very young children that are like elementary age, I tend to work with the parents. And I teach them how to be validating and how to listen to their kids. Because very often parents will say, oh, you know, it's not a big deal, and no, you have to wear these pajamas because you've worn them the last four nights. And I say sometimes you say to a kid, you know what, I see that you're really uncomfortable right now. Let's do something to help you feel better. So for very young children, I think it really helps really to work with the parents. But I think that DBT is probably going to be helpful for any kid over 12 or 13 who has the ability to sort of work with a therapist individually and learn skills, because DBT occurs both in a skills training group and in individual therapy. And one of the most important things about DBT is that a therapist is also a coach for any individual in DBT, which means that if somebody's having difficulty in their lives, we don't expect them that just because they learn a skill in our office that they're going to be able to use it when there's a crisis going on in their lives. So they're taught to call their therapist, and we coach them through the difficulty in that moment at home. I do the same thing for parents. So if parents are having a particularly difficult time with one of their children or adolescents, and they're not sure how to validate or they're not sure how to calm down, I will get on the phone with them or email or text, and I'll help them to calm down so that everybody can think clearer and can problem solve.
So that's one of the skills that's involved. Are there others, aside from listening or anything else that you've already covered?
Well, again, I think that there's a lot to be said for self-soothing, for creating an environment where, like for example, I tell parents to keep lotions around. So that, because if you're rubbing lotion that smells really nice into your hands, it calms you down. It just slows down your responses. Some kids like taking a warm shower. They like going into their room and just listening to music. That one of the things I encourage parents is to let their teens, especially, do what they need to do to calm themselves. So, for example, a parent will say, well, my child left the dining room table and I made him come back, and then there was an uproar. Well, yeah, because he needed to leave to get some space away from the situation. So when you begin to explain those things that really seem sort of commonplace to us, they seem like common sense, they're not in a family that's used to a lot of dysregulation. And one of the things that I find is that parents are really worried. You know, they're really worried about kids that are dangerous and doing dangerous things to themselves. And I have to be really mindful and aware of that, and all of us do, that even while we're working with a kid, yes, parents are going to seem worried, because they are. Because these kids that have emotion dysregulation are sometimes dangerous to themselves, not because they want to be, but because those behaviors tend to make them feel better. And that's what we all have to understand.
Are there any factors that make it more, that learning the skills make it more effective in some patients or some children or parents than others?
Not really. I mean, I think that some adolescents are ready to make the changes. It's really hard work. It is. And you have to make a commitment to change. And a DBT therapist will help you make that commitment. But we do find that there are some people that are not ready to make that commitment to the hard work, because changing for anybody is hard work. It's hard for all of us. It's hard for parents to do things differently than you're used to doing, and to do things differently than what seems to work for you. So we find sometimes that kids are not ready necessarily to go into group. And sometimes we have to work on really getting a commitment to them to do the work that they need. DBT comes with homework, it comes with practice, it comes with doing things not just in the office but outside the office. That's the way change occurs, through practice. And so we have to work with kids that are in some ways ready to do that. Sometimes parents bring their kids because they realize that DBT will be very effective for their kids. It's still up to the kid to do the work, and that's something that everybody really works to attain.
What would you like to see in the future regarding DBT?
I'd like people who do DBT, who say they do DBT, to really be doing DBT, to be doing DBT sort of in a comprehensive way. Some of our clients can't get insured because somebody out there says that they do DBT, and so the insurance says, well, we're not going to pay for it. It's an expensive proposition because it includes individual and skills group, and I would like it to be in situations where more and more parents could have access to it, not so expensive, where insurance is paid for it and took care of it, because it's an evidence-based practice and there's a lot of research for it. I'd like to see it more often, and I'd like sort of the validation, non-judgmental piece to be spread out, because I think that any parent could really benefit from learning how to validate and learning how to be non-judgmental. And I think even though we as clinicians tend to think that we're not judgmental, I think that we sometimes are. So I like to go out there and spread the word of DBT just in terms of being accepting of other people and being validating and non-judgmental. And if we can get more and more people to be on the page with that and to teach skills, to not assume that clients have the skills and aren't using them, I'd really like more and more people to be teaching skills because it's really helpful.
Thanks, Pat. I agree. This is very helpful information. This is Jean Tycro for ADAA.